Hello everyone and welcome to JFG Tonight. Not much happening, so chill show tonight, but if you want we can review some of the DNC footage. It's ridiculous to see these leftists so excited about their political project, but at the same time it shows that there is a failure on the side of Trump. I don't see this enthusiasm on the side of Trump. I see people expecting calm, people expecting a normie Trump. I don't see the bloodthirst that I see in an AOC or a Hillary Clinton, you know, as they open their eyes big and they're like, ah, we're going to do this and that. They are so much more passionate. And it's weird because I've always been in a political moment, at least for all of my public life, where the right-wing side was more thirsty, where they were on the defensive, where they were aggressive. And now we have a complete reversal. Basically, the Trump side is the side of kind of normie, kind of nothingness, kind of I just want the country to continue well. And the leftists, they have a dream. They have a dream that they want to realize. Orkin Man says, Milo is threatening Fuentes. Milo, always trouble. Always trouble, always falsehoods. I do not trust this man anymore. I've seen that in my case, he was unable to tell the truth from falsehoods. And so I do not care about Milo anymore. He is a Jewish agent there to seed dissent, subversion, discord. Nothing interesting can come out of this man. Fractal Man says DNC was cringe, but RNC wasn't much better. Exactly. It's like the RNC is a pale copy of the cringe of the Dems, but the cringe of the Dems is what their base wants to hear. They want to be activated. They want to feel that they're making history, and they succeed at doing this. Raised Fist says they have a black female candidate. How can we top that? John Drake says the Dems are ready to spend like there's no tomorrow. I think Harris could be better for acceleration and BTC. That's why I can't be super partisan in this election. It's that I don't even know if my Bitcoin gets higher value under Trump or Harris. I can't even tell that for sure. It's like, okay, Trump has a positive outlook on Bitcoin, but Kamala Harris probably can't do anything against Bitcoin. And on top of it, she's going to make things that will lead to money printing, which is exactly the function of Bitcoin, to be combating this and to be cashing out from the bad decisions of government. Bassem Youssef, we hear that he wasn't banned. Yesterday I showed his page and I said, was he banned or did he delete his account? Because it's a different thing that displays when you delete your account. And I think that the image we were seeing in his case was an account deletion. But someone in the chat was saying, no, he was banned. No, he actually self-deleted the account because he was handling a situation of security threat to his family, he says. So basically, he got alarmed at something and he thought he was being hacked or something. Something was targeting his family, so he deleted the account temporarily and now he came back. So I think he came back, but his follower count is still, you know, rolling in as it often does. So that's the situation. He updated about this on Instagram. We have here female police trainee learning to handle smoke bombs or grenades. I don't know exactly what that device is, but look at this. She's going to... The guys are going to, even before she throws it, they will see her lack of confidence and they will start being nervous.
Yes, sir.
Now they're like, oh shit, she doesn't know what she's doing.
Merda!
Oh, wow. Can you believe this? There's one woman in the department and you have to sit down as she does her turn on the grenade. People were nervous even before she did the shot. They knew something was going to happen, and they were right in this case. People have been annoying me with a old theory that keeps coming back, the theory that homosexuality is caused by parasites. And anything that is caused by parasites is generally a bad explanation. It's a bad explanation because the question is why would you let yourself be changed by a parasite? Like, we have ways to evolutionary respond to parasites. We have a whole immune system. And ultimately, it doesn't quite help explain the evolutionary effect. You would have to have something in it for humanity. Why would we tolerate parasites that makes us gay? Now, you can have the whole theory, well, gay sex leads to more spreading of STDs. So how is it not the case that STDs are basically farming us as vessels to accomplish their purpose? That could explain some degree of homosexual sex. Personally, I would be very surprised that it explains much of it, but okay, suppose that the STD is basically manipulating your mind, the way it's doing in some insects, although there's no evidence for this. But suppose that that's the case, we still would not have an explanation for the first engagement in homosexuality. Because if you don't have the parasites before, why do you start gay sex at all? So that wouldn't explain why you get into gay sex. It could explain some behaviors within gay sex communities, but not getting into it. Secondly, there is a problem of evolutionary interest. It wouldn't have an explanation for why modern gays are pursuing monogamous sex. It would make much more sense if we're talking about secret gay sex happening on the side of a working marriage, heterosexual marriage. But so basically the parasite explanation can only explain partly gay sex and cannot even explain the beginning of it. So for this, I don't consider it a very solid explanation. Ultimately, you have to ask the question, why would we have tolerated gay parasites gaying us into gayness? Fractal Man says, if communism makes you gay, what does anarcho-capitalism makes you? It makes you a ultimate alpha survivalist of the forest. That's what it makes you. We have a woman here. She abandoned her fiancé because he ran away, not protecting her physically from an attacker. Now that is that is quite harsh. I don't think it's good. I think if you have a trustable female, a loyal female, you have to protect her. Now, I don't know what was the situation here. Perhaps he wasn't valuating her very much, so he saw the criminal come their way and he just ran away. Now, since we are getting that story from the side of the female, I suspect that we are missing some important details. Did she put herself in that situation? Did she cause the attack in a way that perhaps she was being told by her fiancé, don't do this, you're going to attract trouble? And so perhaps she deserved it in some way. It's not clear to me why the attack happened, but there are situations in which your female is so stupid, you have to let her pay the price of her stupidity. Anyways, we will still read the story. AITAH for considering breaking up with my fiancé because he ran away when we were being attacked. I have broken up with my fiancé. I did it this quick because it was not fair to him or to me to keep this relationship just stringing along. Yes, I loved him a lot and will always cherish the memories I had with him. But after the incident last night, I just don't have the same love for him anymore. And I don't think I ever will. To be clear, I don't blame him for what he did in running away. It was his natural instinct, and I completely understand that. But when my brother instinctively stepped in front of me to shield me from the attacker, in comparison to my fiancé just running away scared, it pretty much evaporated most, if not all, of my feelings for my fiancé. I've just learned about myself that one of my love languages is safety and security. Well, yeah, no shit. That's been the history of humanity. Yeah, perhaps he made a decision here. Perhaps she was putting herself in situations. He was telling her, I don't want to do this. I don't want to be here. You shouldn't behave like this. And when she doesn't listen, well, you know, she has to pay the price of her bad decision. Perhaps he was a radical libertarian. A radical libertarian who thought she made the decision, she must pay the price by being the victim. Rodita Sid says, women also don't have the best situational awareness of whatever is going on behind them as they are walking in the street. Absolutely. Zero tactical approach. These women, they are just bubbles of troubles that you carry around. Oh, should we show this on the screen? The penis of the wife of Emmanuel Macron. There has been so much speculation. There has been so much speculation looking in old family photos of the wife of Emmanuel Macron and the case that perhaps this was a boy at some point, grew into a teacher, theater teacher, and adopted a name in a way that the public didn't ever hear about until today. Now, we are stuck with having to evaluate, is that a penis or is that just the general vaginal lips as they should be expected in old age? It is hard. I mean, there is some mass there. There is a mass of flesh. Listen, the vagina can become that way, but it is, you know, with age, it can accumulate weight and fall. But it does look like a well-stocked scrotum filled with testicles. So I think everything is possible here. I wouldn't say that I'm convinced it's a penis, but there is a mass of flesh there. It is either a descended vagina or a penis. New guy says, we do not need incisive JF analysis here, sir, please. Ariel Suarez says, larger clit, some women experience enlargement as estrogen decreases with age. Exactly. So it's entirely possible that an old female looks like this. I don't know what to say. Here we have a guy who had been going after Nick Fuentes. He now admits that he was making up lies. I know the things I've been saying about him aren't true. Man, the state of the public space is absolute crap. You have people going after people with falsehoods because they feel like it. And this guy even acknowledges it. He says, "It just got to me when he made fun of my stutter. It's something I've been dealing with my whole life and I have no control over." So you have a stutter, he makes fun of you, you now invent lies, and the victims of those lies are not just Nick Fuentes. They are other people that are getting lied to by you. Anyway, so he says he would appear on a Twitter space to clarify that his attacks were false. Someone was asking earlier, is it true that Trump is falling out with the working class, white working class? Well, according to this New York Times Siena poll, Trump now only leads by 13 points. And now they put an ad in my face, so I can't read more. I can't read more, but according to this this poll, it was the case. Of course, it's your choice whether you believe in polls or not, but it does seem like he's taking a hit among the working class voter, which is why he's going into the areas that he's been visiting to restore this, but with people being more and more shy at the idea of going for Trump, given that he's giving so much support to Israel and nothing to the working class other than a good working economy, I guess, it's going to be a tight race. Western Exceptionalism says, JF, what's your opinion on No White Guilt and Nick Fuentes' strategy? Well, I don't know what No White Guilt's strategy is, so you'd have to tell me. As far as Nick Fuentes, I think he's doing the right thing, because I think we need to send a message to the Republican Party that no matter how much they wrap their normie, mainstream, centrist view of the Republican Party, we will not support it. So if you want to go after these other voters of the center-left, you're going to have to go there without us, because there's nothing to be celebrated in a victory of the Republican Party in its current state. So it's like you're really wasting it for us. You're really you're removing any political options for us when you do what the Republican Party currently is doing. So I think that long term, the Nick Fuentes strategy is the right one. We have to punish the Republican Party, in fact, the strongest we can. It's not just about not voting for Trump. We should, and here I would be more extreme than Nick Fuentes, but of course he plays within his own constraints and he wants to extend olive branches. But personally, I think that Trump is not giving a sign that he will radically change. And so I'm more and more convinced that we're headed toward a Fuentes versus Trump, basically, case where the whole question is, can Fuentes take 1% of votes out of Trump nationally? I think he can. And I think he can make it so that he could cause the defeat of Trump. Frog Eyes says, JF, on Saturday's Insomnia stream, a super chat asked Blackpilled the following question. 1 out of 4 humans born today are Indian. Doesn't this suggest that Indians are winning the evolutionary race / fittest for survival? What is your response? Well, fittest for survival is always something you have to be careful with when you count generations and individuals. So by this standard, the bacteria are beating us all the way. We are terrible. We are so terrible compared to bacteria. The bacteria are dominant and we have lost already. So it's always the case that you can have something smaller, something less energetically costly, and you will have the numbers from it. But the numbers Evolution is not just guided by numbers. Numbers matter, but they matter relatively and across generations. And they matter also relatively to your ecosystem. So what is the Andean life, basically? The Andean life is, let's say, the Andean evolutionary strategy. The Andean evolutionary strategy is you can live in a slum. You can, you know, you can basically live in a shack made up of recycled boxes, literally. And you can find a way to make it in that high heat environment and survive in those extremely poor conditions. And that is an environment in which you can create more individuals, in which you can have a kind of our approach to human reproduction. Less costly offspring, less investment in parental care, but it works. It survives. We shouldn't make it our standard, because then it's the standards of the low. Then we get pulled at the bottom like everyone. So we shouldn't make it our standard to be more numerous. That being said, being more numerous is a strategic, dangerous weapon these days, because we have democracy. If we didn't have democracy, it wouldn't be a problem. There could be an infinite number of, you know, a high number of people. If they can't be violent toward you and they can't control your nation over by democracy, then it's not that much of a threat. But the numbers matter, because they may very well combine with democracy. They may very well create a situation of true advantage, where the number is not just growing, but it's growing at your expense. And they can change the governments to advantage their evolutionary strategy. That's what I would worry about. Gusparovsky says, "Ain't gonna speak French on the chat anymore, but I wish that new guy tell me more." Okay. Chuck Garrity says, "We have a different evolutionary strategy that's suitable for us by ourselves." Absolutely. Let's look at some summary clips of the DNC encounters.
I would like to introduce my father, your 46th president of the United States, Joe Biden.
Wait, so is this the father who took a shower with you that you called inappropriate showers when you were young? And here, Creepy Joe embracing his rape victim. Kamala is crying. See, and the black music in the background, this is what Trump should inspire himself from. I'm not saying Trump should come out with black music, but the Democrats, they are creating an artificial reality. They're making it feel like you're in a black church with gospel singer or something. That's their thing. Now, Trump should do the same, not in having gospel singers, but he should do the same into what is it that white people are listening to right now? And let's make it happen. Let's create that vibe. Definitely there's a vibe there, a vibe of leftist blackness. So keep it up, quench my desire, and I'll be at your side forevermore. You know your love, keep on lifting higher, higher, higher. I said your love.
I would like.
All right, that was a weird moment. But see, emotions, it works. They are giving emotions to their crowd, and their crowd is happy about it. And now we have Hillary Clinton. Look at her. Her facial expression, it's something. It's like she's acting out the parody of herself. She is truly kind of a puppet-like politician in the sense that she really moves like an artificial 3D cartoon or something.
Donald Trump fell asleep at his own trial.
Look at her eyes. This is not natural. Has there been some surgery done here? Eyes don't look like up like this.
And when he woke up, he made his own kind of history. The first person to run for president with 34 felony convictions.
See, they are totally bragging about their use of the legal system as an instrument of persecution. And they're talking to their radical base here. They're like, yeah, we don't care. We're going to use it to create history. We're going to make it so that he's the first candidate going with crimes on his name.
As Vice President, Kamala sat in the Situation Room.
People were noting there aren't many gym guys in the Democrat Party. And of course, I don't want to mock this too much because I am fat myself. I'm not a physically, muscular guy. I'm not a gym guy. But it's quite interesting to note that every single guy basically is fat. And the girls also are pretty fat. I think that the Democrats Party they've totally veered toward the fat movement. Like, we never see surveys about this. We never see surveys, but the link between, like, we should measure every week how much beautiful people vote for Trump, how many vote for Kamala. That would be quite interesting.
But Donald Trump,
I can't believe those eyes. Gasparovsky says, JF is great, not as great as Mario Lemieux or George St. Pierre, but I wish more Quebecers just learn English and get in tune to what's going on. Okay, well, thank you for the compliment. I still have some work to do to go into history stronger than George St. Pierre, stronger than Mario Lemieux. I think in the end, there will be people remembering me because of the revolutionary phenotype. There will be people down the line remembering me when no one knows who Mario Lemieux is. Now, that's a bet. That's a strong bet. But I believe that 500 years down the line, Mario Lemieux, Georges St-Pierre, JF Garriepy, yeah. Greg Price says, Kamala attacked us. A reporter was asking Trump, Kamala attacked you for being in Howell, Michigan, because it's associated with white supremacy. I didn't know. There's a city in Michigan associated with white supremacy. What does that even mean?
Who was here in 2021? Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
Do you guys know why Howell, Michigan is a city of white supremacy? It seems that Trump already had his answer prepared. And he made a mic drop on her. Shamrock Shake says, this is pretty funny. Well, where the fuck is my dick, Sandra? And it's on Gab. I don't think I will play this on the screen with people naked on the picture. I would have to verify before I play it on stream. End of the line, Joel says, Dawkins might die not believing in God, but also might die not believing in TRP. Well, which is sad, because you only get one chance at life. You only get one chance at reaching this level of understanding of evolution. And most people, most life forms will never get there. They will only get to Darwin, and they kind of will stop there, or they will revert, or people won't understand the next step. So sad, because we could be here. Richard Dawkins only has to read a book, and his mind could forever be said to have understood this idea. Censored Man says, Rabbi Shmuley and his daughter have filed an FBI complaint against Candace Owens for being a Jew hater.
You really went after.
But it's not even a crime in the U.S.
After Candace Owens today, why?
And that's a sliver of what she actually deserves. She is such a liar. She is an anti-Semite. She hates Jews. She has a thing
with Jews.
Incredible,
isn't it? Like, weird.
And while Jews are being attacked around the world, she finds it really necessary to spend her time, use her platform to defend and protect Kanye West while she talks
a Hitler lover.
Crap about
Kanye
Israel.
West is not just an anti-Semite.
Okay, these people are... By the way, this girl is a saleswoman for sex articles, and she promotes her sex toys with her dad. A very unhealthy public relationship here. Shmuley Boteach and daughter filed complaint to FBI against Candace Owens. Well, this will lead nowhere. I think they're getting so much attention from this that they can't give up. So they continue this kind of war with Candace, but it's really not important. Real Base Talk says he gives Jews a bad name, and that's saying something. This guy is special. This guy is unique. Trump already has a 3% lead over Kamala's odds. So, Kamala has gone up in the Polymarket odds. Polymarket is this betting platform for bets about future events. And Trump is now back slightly up at 51%. But he was dominating very strong over Kamala for a long time. And then Kamala came up. I think it's going to be, again, a very tight race. No matter what happens, it's going to be extremely tight. The RFK Jr. campaign is mulling joining forces with Trump. So apparently this woman is the co-runner of RFK Jr. And they're currently jungling between creating another party to have a three-way race, but then they would take vote away from Trump's, and so they are also discussing the possibility of RFK Jr. joining forces with Trump. I think what RFK Jr. matters very little, what he does ultimately matters very little, because I think he's not a massive force, but you could say that he's been attractive to people of the middle who are uncomfortable at times saying they would vote for Trump. And so he attracts this kind of Tulsi Gabbard, leftocentrists, right-wing centrist, very bizarre crowd, kind of like Brett Weinstein, the Brett Weinstein kind, and the Joe Rogan of this world. I don't think it's important. I don't think there will be much votes going the way of RFK. But it's kind of revealing that they are not thinking about unionizing with Kamala. They are thinking about making a union with Trump. So really, they are anything but Kamala. That's their current direction. Covey Killer Clown sends some shekels. Covey Killer Clown again. Kamalala. Kamalala, is that how you call Kamala? And then he says in a super chat, how high should one's IQ be to read TRP? I think you shouldn't have any problem understanding TRP at 100 IQ. You may not be interested by it at 100 IQ, but I've designed it so that if you're kind of average or above average, you will be fine. TRP is not complicated. TRP is very easy. It's like, I've actually wrote it kind of like a child. You shouldn't need much to understand TRP other than genuine drive to question reality. That is all. And, you know, there's some philosophical meanderings here and there. You can skip over them. The general theory is pretty much the simplest scientific theory that's been. Now, new guy asks about the moral signal. I think the moral signal will be a little more heavy, but also not dramatically heavy. Not dramatically. AOC, look at her dynamism. This is what I'd like to see on a right-wing platform.
And I, for one, am tired of hearing about how a two-bit union buster thinks of himself as more of a patriot than the woman who fights every single day to lift working people out from under the boots of greed, trampling.
They're talking like black pastors at this point.
On our way of life.
And look at her eyes. I mean,
way of life.
Those are extremely opened eyes. I would like to say, I don't see this on the side of Trump. Harris polls much less rosy than reported, according to a super PAC. The founder of the main outside spending group backing Kamala Harris for president says their own internal opinion polling is much less rosy than public polls. So public polls are slightly advantageous to Kamala. They say their internal polls are disadvantageous. But at the same time, traditionally, Trump has had a punishment at the boot effect, where somehow the Democrat machine is much more equipped to get their vote out, and the Republicans are kind of counting on old people driving themselves to the voting booth. So if anything, I would expect that the surveys are underestimating the strength of Kamala in light of the Democrat machine and how it will succeed at getting those, first, those votes from home, those mail-in votes where it's possible, and secondly, those votes in person when they have these whole teams to carry people to the voting booth. It's a crazy machine. Ukraine has banned the Russian Orthodox Church, a legal decision made in Ukraine. So people are saying they banned Christianity. It's perhaps an exaggeration to say this. But they banned the Orthodox Church that is connected to Russia. And they gave maybe a month for them to undo their ties to Russia. And only those Orthodox churches that have completely divorced from Russian organizations will be able to continue in Ukraine. That's an effect of war. It's very sad because I don't see why it would be a problem. I think you should continue keeping the historical link between the nations if you want a hope for peace. But again, we're in a move here that Zelensky wants this war to be eternal, it seems. He doesn't want peace. He makes his conditions impossible to accept. And he destroys the ties between his own people and the Russian people. It's really a divorce of nations that we're seeing. Jan Malmström is criticizing Candace Owens. And I don't understand this. People are asking, are you getting paid to just spout bullshit about Candace Owens every day? Because it's kind of weird. Why are these people taking these positions all of a sudden? Do they get paid? I wonder, because I don't get paid for any tweets other than by my own crowd. He says Candace Owens endorses Venezuela's Nicolas Maduro's conspiracy theories against the US and suggests that Argentina's Javier Milei's blue eyes indicate a post-World War II lineage. Sad to see this decline. Well, is she saying anything false? Because Nicolas Maduro is absolutely right in saying that there are American psyops aimed at controlling the American South. This has been going on for decades. It is admitted. And in fact, it's admitted even today. Even today, you have the pro-Trump crew basically trying to meddle in the election openly. We've seen them on Twitter when the election happened. So let's see if anything that Candace is saying here is crazy.
They had an election and their incumbent president, Nicolas Maduro, we all know who Nicolas Maduro is, and my suspicion is he's actually about to be killed, and I'll tell you why they're calling it.
Well, when you have the whole apparatus of American intelligence trying to unseat you from your position as the leader of a nation, yes, your life is in danger. Historically, I mean, Saddam Hussein, the Libya, you know, who was the Colonel Gaddafi of Libya. Basically, when the American intelligence community decides that you shouldn't be there, you have a year or so to either get out yourself consensually, or you better be protected and have an army because they will send assassins. By the way, Candace, extremely nice Stanley Cup. Absolutely beautiful. Keep it up. Beautiful. You wouldn't think Candace, given how based she is, you wouldn't think that she would fall for the Stanley Cup, but it is what it is.
An electoral scam. First among them, Milei in Argentina. Now, I want to be very clear. I don't trust anything that crawls out of Argentina with blue eyes.
Wow, that is a radical statement. But she's right, you know? What leads you to have blue eyes in Argentina? It must be a history of very specific breeding. You haven't been part of the people if you have blue eyes like Javier Milei does. You've been part of an elite that has selected who they were breeding with for hundreds of years. Or you have been from the outside and you have come in with a history of breeding with other Europeans that had blue eyes. New guy says Europeans are all over Argentina. Yeah, but Europeans, like Mediterranean Europeans, not blue-eyed Europeans. So in a way, she has a heuristic that is not totally insane. And yes, Nicolas Petris says, is Milei Jewish? It's my understanding that he is. He's a Jewish libertarian, if I understand correctly.
There's a reason for that. And that reason is because after World War II, a lot of Argentinians suddenly had blue eyes.
So she is complimenting with the idea that, and this has been, they have said that Nazis after World War II escaped Germany to go to Argentina. I don't know to which extent that's true. And if this rumor came out, I wouldn't be surprised that it's simply based on the fact that many Germans made it to Argentina, not Nazis necessarily. And within those Germans, there may have been Jews. So I wouldn't exclude the possibility that Javier Milei is part of a line of descent that is Jewish and that comes from Germany. Not impossible. Who else comes from Argentina? Was it David Pakman? David Pakman, if I remember correctly, comes from Argentina. Fractal Man sends $10. Do you use AI for programming purposes? If so, what application do you think is best for this purpose? Specifically for someone interested in Python, but with minimal programming experience. One thing I would like to do is experiment with deep learning and machine learning using some data sets I have. Well, there's two different worlds here. Are you talking about using AI to program, or are you talking about designing AIs with your programming? Those are two very different things. The first, I never do. I never go ask for ChatGPT to write my code. I think it's ridiculous. I will never even try it. ChatGPT is just too confused. I don't see how he would help me be faster. Now, they keep bragging on GitHub and everything that, oh yeah, AI, the AI revolution has come. AI has improved my efficiency by 40%. What kind of crap are you writing for a stupid AI to be doing 40% of it? It must be pretty fucking stupid. Because my game, I don't see how AI could do something useful into it. It would all be crap that I need to review, that I need to relearn what the AI did. And ultimately, it would take me more time figuring out what he's trying to do and do it correctly than trusting the AI. Now, the second question, if you're talking about designing machine learning programs, that can be useful. If you have data, you want to figure out what is the structure of this data, how can I compress it or extract information from it, that can be a very interesting path. And then you have the classical, you can go learn about this through artificial neural networks, layers, weighted machine learning. There's a dozen different ways to do it, and you can totally Google about it and learn about it. I've been always disappointed, digging through complex data sets. I've never been super impressed by what machine learning delivers. But if you have a specific question, maybe it will help you. Ariel Suarez says they would have to be learning just basic concepts or ask how to solve errors. Even then, AI can be very prone to mistakes. Exactly. And AI doesn't know the context of your full program. And that's so important. Ultimately, it's all that matters. The difficulty of programming is not to write a script that will spawn a loot item that has these characteristics. That is the easiest part. And yes, AI could do it, but you can also do it super easy. It's all about how does that spawned loot item relate to the whole world? How do we interact with it? How do we synchronize the multiplayer world to it? Those questions, the AI will be absolutely helpless about it.
And so I do not trust Milei. Maduro responded to Milei by calling him a cowardly bug and a traitor to the homeland and a fascist. Now, the fascist part might be true. I don't know. I got to see his genealogy because I just don't trust anything with blue eyes that comes from Argentina. That's all I'm saying. Here's the thing. Maduro has now spoken out and he's pretty convinced that this is a coup. And, you know, there might have been some earlier suggestions that they were. And by they, I mean the CIA and the global elite were planning a coup. America, we don't do anything.
Definitely. This has been happening before. And the way social media started being concerned and wanting to talk about this Argentinian election was absolutely unnatural. This is not the result of free minds thinking, oh, this morning I care about Argentina. No, someone has dropped money on social media for this to happen. One morning we woke up and everyone was convinced that somehow Maduro was an illegitimate winner of the election and somehow this other candidate was the right one. How do you get this? I've not heard of Argentina in 20 years on Twitter. Suddenly you guys all care about it. Ariel Suarez says, would you consider documentation to be key when learning new programming concepts? Personally, I spend my time just Googling the classes that I use, and every time I write a new line, it's generally with the documentation on my left screen. Like I can give you an example. let's say, okay, I'm talking about spawned loot. So, okay, I have this object created in my Godot game. It's a loot. So right now I have about 300 different items that can be looted. So I shovel a plant, I spawn a loot, velocity up, so that it kind of bounces and then bounce on the detection of the ground 3 times and then stabilizes in position, shuts down the physics simulation because we don't want this laying loot to be consuming CPU resources. And now I'm like, oh yeah, because I have 300 different items, I have some that are sunflower seeds that you can put in your fertilization machine so that it kind of brews and it becomes some potions that you can use in combat. So I have these sunflower seeds that are small like this. I have these gigantic trees that are big like this. I want to normalize everything so that a loot item is a small little piece that is 1 unit long. So how do I do this? Well, I'm like, okay, I have a mesh object. So I type mesh Godot. And now I have the documentation of the Godot mesh object, a resources that contains vertex array based geometry. So I have get AAB here. So if I get the AAB of the mesh, the AAB is the total bounding box such that you have the maximal dimension on X, the maximal dimension on Y, and the maximal dimension on Z of the size of your model. So now I have the size, if I get the AAB, I have the size of the sunflower seed being extremely small versus the side of the tree, which is extremely big. So now I'm like, okay, I'm going to use this function, get AAB. Now, when you have an AAB object, it comes in a certain form. And so I'm like, how will I handle these numbers? Well, let's go see the AAB documentation. Okay, so the AAB as a position, that's a vector tree object. And the AAB as a size, that's a vector tree object. So I don't need the position. All I need is the size. So I'm going to take the size of the mesh in vector tree form. Now I'm going to check, what is a vector tree? Well, a vector tree has a X, Y, and Z value. All of these are float values. So I'm going to take the average, or I'm going to take the longest axis, either X, Y, or Z, and I'm going to divide it so that it's down to 1. So let's say that my tree, the size of the tree is 17 units. And the size of the sunflower seed is 0.1 unit. I do 1 divided by the AAB size. That gives me a very big number if it's small, a very small number if it's large, and that gives me a factor by which I can adjust the scale. The result of it is all loot items are the exact same size, one long. And I extracted this from the Godot documentation. So I constantly spend my days just with this documentation opened. And it kind of allows you, without having to run into debug mode, without running the program, without compiling, you can avoid certain basic mistakes. Like if I had done get AAB and I had expected some float return values, I would have been wrong. Get AAB doesn't give me float directly. It gives me an AAB object. So now I click on the AAB object. Okay, the float values are organized like this. A set of three vector trees. And oh, perhaps I have good functions here. Let's go see the functions. Oh, look. There's one function that gives me exactly what I want, which is get longest axis. And so I don't even need to go into the vector tree. I can just type get longest axis, and I'm going to get the longest number that I'm looking for. It will allow me to downsize all of my models. RoDataSid says, coming back to a previous comment, GPT is good at commenting and documenting code. You can upload your code, tell GPT, don't touch my code, but add exhaustive comments about the code, add to each file explaining what each function does, and at the end, create an HTML editable wiki page. That sounds like a fine task for ChatGPT. Now, I'm so stubborn, I wouldn't even let AI do this. Because I'm like, in the writing of a document, you have a very important moment as a coder. It's a moment where you relearn everything. Because let me tell you, the code for the game I'm writing is enormous at this point. Like, I'm lost in it like it's a maze. So it's always good as a coder to review your own code, relearn how everything works, and refigure it out for yourself. So I think that the writing of the documentation is actually a magical learning moment. I don't want to give it up for AI. Ariel Suarez says, JF, thank you so much for the demonstration. Now I might consider learning Godot in the near future. Seems like an amazing language. It is quite amazing. You are annoyed at the beginning because there's these weird ways they use columns and the if tests are like in Python. And I'm annoyed by all this. I understand the JavaScript more in terms of organization of code. But once you have digested these little bizarre aspects, they're kind of baby aspects. Like, it seems that they tried to make the language too simple and weirdly simple. But in the end, when you're habituated to it and you've been doing it for a whole month, you start to like it. Raised Fist says, JF, are you using auto-generated items? How can a one-person team create 300 loot items as fast as you did? Ah. That is the challenge that I'm... yes, I use certain techniques for auto-generation, but in the end, it's just I'm a workhorse. And I do take the bet that I can deploy a game that will be one of the most complex games ever made. It's going to be more complex than those games that are worked on by old teams. And I'm doing it very often with available resources, Creative Commons resources. So how did I get to 300 items? I started shopping on Sketchfab. Started buying a pack of 20 plants. Oh, here's a bunch of sunflower seeds. 30 different seeds. Let's take them. Oh, this is Creative Commons. I don't even need to pay for it. It's a group of 10 plants. Let's take them in. And I started accumulating plants and seeds and varieties. And I started painting some of them with different colors. And I started reorganizing some of them. Started saving them in a common format. And then I started auto-generating databases that were describing the properties of these plants, the properties of these seeds. Just how many of that plant shoveled gives you how many of that seed, etc. And some of it is work in progress. But yeah, you use, I have used massive amounts of auto-generation that I programmed myself. So I had these. So now I had these meshes. I had all of the meshes of 300 plants. And so I'm like, okay, I make a script that goes through each mesh, puts it in front of the camera, and takes a picture of it. Now I generated a 2D PNG sprite. So now this 2D PNG sprite is what will show in your inventory when you pick up that item. And then when you shovel that plant, well, now the plant becomes smaller and starts bouncing like an item. Now it's a spawned loot. Now I need the meshes for the spawned loot. Now when I turn my shovel toward the plant, I need the plant to be highlighted in red. So now I need an outline mesh. So now I run a generated automated script with Godot to generate an outline mesh for each of the plants that exist. That's how you get into, eventually you build a database, you add more and more. Today I've been adding a lot of seeds because I'm working on the brewery distillery machine. I have a distillery machine and I open the menu. I have slots in the machine. You have fermentation tank. You have microorganism additives. And then you have flavor enhancements. And now you have your inventory that pops in. 100 empty slots or whatever it is that you gathered. Now you can put some of the flowers in flavor enhancements. You can put some of the seeds in the fermentation tank. Then you activate the machine and the machine just starts churning out fermented items. There will be, I think I'm going to get to 1 million items. Kovi Killer Clown says, is this game about making wine? Could be.